Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Bros and Consoles Podcast mini-series Solo Gaming Updates, episode 26 on November 10th. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, a.k.a. Indie Ronin, on most places that are available for the name. Got a little bit of a kind of probably shorter show this week. Sorry, it's coming a little bit later in the afternoon. Usually, I'd like to get these things out around, like, early afternoon time. This is kind of coming to you guys in the evening, especially people listening over on the East Coast, getting to you guys pretty late over there as well. So sorry about that. Today's been a little bit more of a busy day. Had to go and run a lot of errands throughout the day and just a lot of things to take care of in regular life stuff. But now that we have some time, we can sit down and chat about some video games. Haven't been a whole lot of video games that I played over the weekend, surprisingly. it's kind of been... It's been, again, very focused, I think, on basically a couple games. Mainly one game in particular, and we'll get to that one kind of last here. A little bit that I've played more for one of the games that I actually forgot to mention last week is a game called Hades that I'd heard good things about, especially if coming from my other co-host, Michael Panarero. He's been telling me a lot about Hades itself and how it's his favorite game of the year so far, actually. And that got me pretty intrigued because there's been some pretty huge bangers that came out this year so far. For me, at the top of the list right now, still, I believe, is Final Fantasy VII Remake, coming that one that came out back in April. It's hung on there for quite a while, coming up to a second or close second place, I would say, for me, it was Ghost of Tsushima. And there's been so many big games that are going to be coming out and have come out in this kind of like holiday season so far that it's going to be tough knowing kind of exactly where things fall at the end of everything, which is why I got to just try and play as many things as I can, get through as many games that have come out this year as I'm able to kind of really give everything a fair shot and, you know, get to see kind of which things are holding my interest, which things I'm kind of not feeling at the time to kind of get a better idea of where my list lies. But looking at everything that happened for this past couple games that I've been playing, the first one, Hades, like I mentioned, it's been a pretty interesting ride so far. Now, to be fair, I haven't gotten super far in it. I have played probably about an hour or so, still pretty early in the game. I think I've died twice so far, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. The cool thing that I like so far, though, is that each time I do die, I am kind of getting more of the story beats, and that's kind of, I've talked with Michael a little bit about that, and he says, yeah, that's kind of the thing that keeps on coming and makes the deaths not quite as, like, unenjoyable in terms of, like, each time you die, you're not just like, ah, freak, I gotta go and do all these things again. But then you get a little bit more of the story, it kind of keeps things interesting, you're learning more about the world and whatnot, and I'm digging that so far. The first boss that I got to face, one of the, I almost thought of the word harpy for a second, it's not right, it's the Furies. Basically, for people who are unaware, Hades, the game, is taking place kind of within Greek mythology. You play as basically the son of Hades, I believe. I'm still really bad with names at the moment. I think that's correct. I'm going to have to probably go through again later and correct myself on a whole bunch of different things, but I believe you play as the son of Hades. You are trying to escape the underworld, basically, and have kind of forged some, you know, shady, like, alliances with some of the people in the underworld in order to try and get yourself to the surface. It sounds like, from what I'm gathering of the story so far, is that you are kind of a secret from the gods of Olympus and whatnot, and you're, I guess it almost kind of seems as if it's your mother, but not quite sure about that. But one of the other god characters down in the underworld, Nyx, who is kind of the embodiment of night, she is the one who, it sounds like, has kind of put word through to the gods of Olympus that you exist. And basically, you've kind of struck a deal with her, and exactly what the terms of that deal is, I'm not sure quite yet. I'm sure I'll learn more over time. And basically, you're trying to make your way through kind of like Tartarus and all these different areas of the underworld to eventually reach the surface and then kind of be welcomed by the gods of Olympus and whatnot. Athena is kind of the first god that makes contact with you. And the way they do it is basically through these message orbs that you kind of get Sporadically, like you'll get them from clearing like certain rooms. All these rooms are kind of randomly generated and whatnot. I guess procedurally generated is probably also a correct way to term that. But basically, every time the story it goes that every time you die, Tartarus kind of shifts and the room layouts change and whatnot, and that's how it keeps people trapped down there forever and they never get out. But in terms of like yourself, each time you die, you just kind of come back and you escape again to try and make your way up to the surface. You're kind of in defiance of the entire time of your old man Hades, and so he's basically just kind of telling you like no one's ever gonna get out of here, so just like stop trying, and you just keep on like, oh no, I'm just gonna keep doing it, you know. the rebellious son and whatnot. So you're making your way up. Along the way, you're fighting these different like bosses and whatnot. Because I've only died twice, and I beat, was it, I died once in like I think one of the regular rooms kind of thing. Eventually, when I was in my second playthrough second run, I was making my way through. I made it all the way to the first boss, which is the Fury that I mentioned. I think your character calls her Meg for short. I think it's like Megara or something like that is what her name is. And you fight against her. I managed to beat her boss level. Kept on going through and made it in kind of to the second realm of the, I guess, like rooms that you can kind of go through. This one along the kind of like this lava river, basically. And as I'm going through there, I ended up dying eventually, and then it got brought back to the your home base area, like the palace that you kind of live in with your father and all these other I guess like spiritual kind of like people and stuff. It's not just spiritual, but like some godlike figures and some that are kind of Greek mythology heroes and things like that. Like Achilles is down there. They kind of call him like a forgotten or like lost hero kind of thing. And you're basically kind of talking with these people that kind of fleshes out some more of the story and whatnot. I got to see Hades and Nyx having kind of a spat between each other, and Nyx kind of making it seem like she doesn't know like how the gods of Olympus figured out that your character was basically alive and existed and whatnot. And kind of Hades being upset, and he's like, if you were trying to, like, you know, screw me over here, basically, like, you're going to regret it. And she's like, oh, don't try and, like, threaten me kind of thing. It's all very, very interesting just because it's always funny with these gods being on, like, similar power levels and whatnot within their, like, pantheons and things. Or at least that's what I'm kind of gathering from the story and everything there. But needless to say, though, since I haven't gotten to go back into the levels and whatnot yet, it sounded like, with an exchange I had with myself and Megara, it sounded like I will probably see her again, and I believe I'd probably have to beat all the bosses without dying kind of thing to actually get out of here, because it does sound like each time I die, obviously, I'm reborn back in that place, and it sounds like each time they're killed as well, they're also kind of brought back to that area, and so then I'll end up meeting them again. So I haven't confirmed that yet, but that's kind of the vibe I'm getting, and I'm pretty excited to try and make my way all the way through this, because even just dying those couple times, I'm kind of learning patterns of different enemies and things and ways to stay alive longer. I like that each time you get a kind of message bubble from one of the gods of Olympus, or even just kind of other deities and whatnot, they basically kind of give you these different buffs and boons, depending on that kind of god or goddess's, I guess, like traits that you kind of think of when you think of Greek mythology. Like if you get a message bubble from Zeus, you kind of get these lightning boons for your weapons and things. You can get some from like Poseidon and I think it was his name, Dionysus, those different kind of like deities and whatnot. And they kind of all give you different abilities and buffs and things like that, as well as just kind of like going through rooms, getting gold as rewards, or like centaur hearts is what they kind of call them, in order to kind of raise your overall like max HP. I believe you start at a certain max HP each time, and then it kind of can raise as you kind of gather these different upgrades and things. But very cool systems. Each room that you go and fight enemies in and complete, you get some kind of reward for, and you get to kind of choose your path every so often. So if you do have multiple paths, you can kind of choose like, oh, I want to go and collect more gold in this upcoming room, or I want to get like a centaur heart, or I see that like Zeus is going to give me another boon if I go in this route, so I'll go down there instead. instead. And it's very like fascinating to kind of plan out your route and everything like that. Sometimes I find myself taking the routes that will give me more health just because like you don't heal unless you have specific boons for it. So I try to kind of raise my health as much as I can because I'm pretty comfortable with the combat system and everything. I feel like I can kind of get by without adding a whole lot of extra like damage and everything like that. So it's been a fun game so far, though. I really see why Michael has fallen in love with it so much this year. So I'm looking forward to getting some more hours into that. But the other game that's taken up the majority of my time that's kind of stopping me from playing really anything else is Watch Dogs Legion. And man, this game has caught a hold of me in a way that I didn't think it was going to initially. I've kind of talked with Michael about it before, where I've realized, and I think I mentioned this on the podcast before as well, that out of the Ubisoft catalog and whatnot, I think Watch Dogs is my favorite series as a whole. Now, maybe just because it hasn't had like a, you know, a crazy amount of entries within the series itself, kind of like the Assassin's Creed ones. Where that one just kind of spans so many different titles that like I haven't even gotten to play all of them. I think now I maybe own all of them, but except for Valhalla, which came out today. But because there's so many different titles and they're all such long games, like there's no way I could have played through all of them and still have kind of kept up with all the other titles that I have and like indie games and other AAA releases and things like that. So when it comes to Watch Dogs, since I have been able to go through all of those and platinum all those games so far, I was looking forward to doing that with this game as well. I was kind of excited to try it out when it first was being talked about and everything because of the idea of being able to play as any character. Along with that, though, they do have the permadeath aspect, which we kind of explored last time, I believe. And I ended up doing an interesting thing where I obviously turned the permadeath on. But shortly after doing that and kind of getting to the area where, basically like the permadeath was for real turned on, because I think a couple times before that I had maybe gotten close to death or I had died actually as my first main character that I chose. And because I hadn't reached a point in the story yet where permadeath had been activated, I was still playing as them. So I didn't know, I think at the time I thought that it was possible to, you know, like get killed and then just kind of quickly turn off the game before you actually like accepted the like continue kind of thing and be able to still play as your character. Now, that was my mistake. I hadn't tested it out well enough and I didn't really kind of know what I was testing, because once it did activate, I went on a few missions and happened on a live stream too, where I was basically playing the game. Did one mission, it went fine, and then went into a character recruitment mission for a police officer, actually. I think he was a police lieutenant. And along that mission, I ended up dying as my main character. Tried to quit out, which is why the basically stream ended where it did on the YouTube video. But when I loaded the game back up, I was very surprised and kind of shocked to see that my character was gone, like totally gone. And I knew going into this permadeath playthrough that was going to be the case eventually. I just didn't realize how much it was going to kind of resonate with me in such an interesting way, where after Marshall was gone, Marshall Balogun, he basically was like the character I kept thinking about. And after that moment happened, I was just like, man, like he's gone for real, like what am I supposed to do now? I ended up having, I think I had a total of 4 characters remaining kind of thing. And they tell you when you pick the permadeath playthrough that at any time you can switch to make it not permadeath. But once you flip that switch, there's no going back to it kind of thing afterwards. Along with that, though, if you end up losing all of your operatives, they make it sound as if the game is just over, like for real. So that kind of idea is not something I want to actually get to. Hopefully I don't want to actually lose all my characters and then find out that I have to play the game all over again, because that would be, man, such a huge blow in terms of like time sunk into a game. But at the same time, losing Marshall and kind of realizing like, man, like this is the weight of kind of not playing the game carefully and not being kind of like wise with like the types of decisions I'm making and whatnot. I'm trying to take on more than I can chew at one time. That kind of really resonated with me, where now I look at every single character and I'm just like, okay, I can't lose you because like for various reasons. Usually it's because like you guys have a lot of really good skills and I want to keep your character. So I will occasionally change to just another character I've recruited randomly and start playing with them, and then realize as I'm playing with them that like I really enjoy playing as that specific character. Like I think one of the characters' names is Antonis, and I was playing as him for a while. I was kind of not worried about losing him at the moment, but as I was playing more with him, I really liked his character, like his speech. The dialogue that he kind of had as a character in terms of like his personality and everything, as well as just kind of his like attitude and whatnot. And the way he kind of talked with like Bagley, the AI character, and other people on the street and everything when I would recruit new characters, I really started to kind of get attached to him. And so eventually I was like, shoot, I don't want to lose him. I got to switch over to another character. It so happened that I had two politicians that I had recruited, and one of them had already joined me in a main story mission where there was a really cool thing that I'll kind of get back to there. But I didn't want to lose her because she had been part of something special in my memory. So I switched to another character, Percy Brown. And he was a politician that I saved, I think, from a Albion security guard that was kind of brutalizing him at the time. And I kind of distracted them so he could get away. And then he immediately wanted to join DedSec and whatnot. So what I ended up doing is I switched to him, thinking that, you know, If I lose one politician, it's not too big of a deal in my mind. I still have a whole bunch of different types of characters that I can choose from. His I want to say boons again, but each character has their own set of kind of like skills, as well as not even like skills might not even be the right word, because not all of them are skills, but kind of like passive like buffs, I guess, in a way. Percy's ones weren't that unique, I would say. It was still useful. I think he has like faster download times and can shorten the amount of time that team members spend in jail if they're arrested. But aside from that, he's just kind of a regular run-of-the-mill character and everything. Or so I thought, because as I started playing with him, I started to realize, like, one, I already liked the way he spoke and everything, and the kind of dialogue that he has with characters around him. He's much more on the kind of like nice side. He's kind of got kind of a cool, like almost Rastafari kind of accent to him. And basically, as he's going around and doing things, he seems like he has a good heart. I had a moment with him earlier today where I was standing on top of a bus randomly, as you do, right, in video games. I was standing on top of a bus, and for a bit I just kind of I let the character just stay there for a moment, because I wanted to see if the buses were going to move and see if they would kind of drive me around the city and stuff, kind of similar to what I remember doing a little bit in Watch Dogs 1, where you got on a subway train and then basically you kind of would move through the city and whatnot. But The buses weren't moving, and so I was just kind of waiting to see if anything would happen, and nothing was happening. But as I was standing there, and he was kind of crouched on top of this large bus, or I think it was actually maybe a large truck, he said something akin to, like man, like, we got to really be careful that we don't become, that, like, in our effort to help people, we don't become monsters, that we don't become the monsters that we're fighting. And I was just like, man, there's just these little tiny things in the game that I didn't expect to kind of like come across that are really kind of making me dig the experience even more than I thought I would. They got me really attached to Percy now, where I don't want to lose him either. And I find that that's kind of been happening with basically each character I switch to, which I think is a pretty unique thing. I didn't expect to kind of feel this level of connection with different random characters that you can just basically find anywhere in the world in this video game. But one of the other cool things that I like about Percy, though, is that he's this regular politician, got some regular buffs and whatnot as his character skills. But for some reason, this character's fighting style is crazy. Like he's like some kind of secret like martial artist or something, because some characters, they're just kind of like Antonis, for example. He's just kind of a regular like brawler dude when you play with him. Like he'll throw kind of some regular punches and things. When he goes to try and take somebody down, he basically just kind of like jumps on their back and then kind of wrestles them to the ground, and then they're knocked out afterwards. For Percy, though, similar to the very first character that you play as in the prologue mission, your character, or Percy, I should say, when he goes to take somebody down, he'll sneak up behind him, and then when you press the button for the takedown, he does a bunch of like crazy quick jabs, just like the spy in the beginning, and knocks these people out. And it's fun to see every single time, because it's just so fluid and fast, I guess, in a way. But along with that, his actual regular fighting style, when you get up and close and personal with these other enemies and things, and even some of the side missions I've been doing, like the bare knuckle brawl tournaments that you can kind of enter and everything, I've started to go through some of those, and watching his fighting style in there is pretty impressive, because he has a lot of these crazy like spinny kicks and things. I mean, he does some kind of like crazy roundhouse kicks and spinning roundhouse kicks, and basically as you're fighting with him, you feel like you can move much faster than you actually can. His kind of jabs and crosses are really quick, and then kind of throws in kicks and things. When he does a dodge and then a counter attack, he basically dodges out of the way and then does a spinning roundhouse kick and does a lot of damage like that. He doesn't have any specific buffs for like close combat or anything, but just kind of watching the way he fights with enemies and stuff is very interesting, and actually it's kind of why I'm also getting attached to him more as well, just because even though it's not a like specific buff or anything that is special about him, the fact that I have this character who does all these cool moves and things and is also this really nice guy is just kind of really sticking with me. So kind of long story short there, I find that I get attached to basically all the characters I play as, which is, you know, very surprising in a game where you can choose to play as literally anyone that you come across in the game, provided that they don't already have a like strong like hatred of DedSec itself, the group that you're affiliated with. But man, it's very surprising, and I think because of everything that's been going on so far, I'll have to wait and see as I get further into the game to make this decision like totally. But I do think that this game is climbing up to kind of a top ranking place for games that have come out this year, which I didn't think it was going to be the case going into it, and I'm very happy that it actually is the case, because like I said, I do enjoy the Watch Dogs games, and man, this is actually probably one of the few games that I'll probably end up getting the season pass for in terms of like Ubisoft titles. Usually if I get the season pass content, it's because I got like the gold edition of, say, like Assassin's Creed Odyssey or something like that on sale. And because of that, I have everything available to me and stuff like that, but I don't usually go in and buy just like the season pass for these titles. But this game is something special so far, and I'm really glad that I picked it up to start playing it when it came out. And I'm glad that it's got its hooks into me so far, and I look forward to kind of talking more about that. So far, according to the Ubisoft Connect function on the game, where you can actually check your playtime and whatnot, I have played just under 13 hours of like in-game playtime. I believe that counts out any kind of like time that you're spent on the pause screen and stuff like that, which does occasionally happen, and I think that's why my PSN app, in terms of like trophy tracking and stuff, is kind of a little bit skewed time wise because I think it counts the amount of time that the game is like registered as being online and whatnot when you're in the game. So I'm interested to keep on doing some more missions there. I'm slowly building up a crew. I think I've got about 20 plus operatives with me now, so feeling much better about approaching the game in this whole permadeath style. But also, I'm scared of losing operatives too, so it's kind of the other tough part. It's like a double-edged sword there a little bit, where it's really exciting to play in permadeath, but then at the same time, you could lose a character very easily, and they're just gone forever, so hopefully, I'll still be able to keep all the characters I've been coming across, because I like basically all of them that I've been meeting so far. And I will kind of report back some more on that once I've kind of gotten further in the game and whatnot. There was something else I was going to mention about the game that I think I've missed a little bit. Man, what was it? What was it? I think it was basically the mission styles for the main mission quests that surprised me as well. I may have kind of talked about this a little bit. It's hard to keep things straight nowadays when I do like the podcast plus like videos on YouTube, and then also just kind of, you know, talking with Michael and things like that. But in the main mission quests after the, actually, I think it was leading up to the whole permadeath being activated and whatnot, I found that the characters I had already recruited for DedSec with Marshall's help were basically kind of the ones that joined me in this main mission. And basically, I took on all the roles throughout this mission, where I started off as Marshall, going and talking with, or actually like collecting one other recruit who was a construction worker. I believe, if I remember correctly, my construction worker's name is Patrice. And basically, after I recruited her help, we started the mission proper. I met up with her, and then it immediately switched over to her perspective, and now I was controlling Patrice. And going with Patrice, I kind of went and picked up a like server with one of a cargo drone that I have an ability for with her. So I picked it up, kind of flew it over to this like drop site, and then from there switched over to another character I had already recruited. This one's name is Patricia. pretty close there, but took over as her, and then she was actually the politician that I had recruited, Patricia. And so took over as her, and now I'm driving the truck that has this server in it and kind of bringing it to the next area, which I believe was where, was that where Percy was at? I'm forgetting who was over at the next area there. But yeah, basically I brought it over to the next area and kind of finish off the missions and whatnot. And it's really cool actually to see the way that kind of all these different characters are being used and whatnot as you're playing the game. Just because I thought that, you know, I'd get to places, there would be some like NPCs waiting there for me to help me out and things. But no, it's like you're taking on all the different roles here, and you have to make sure that this works, because if it doesn't work, you lose, for me at least, I lose that character, and now I assume someone else has to take the role there and kind of like fill in the gaps and things. So I'm really trying to make sure that everyone survives at this point, and trying to take care of everybody because they're all members of the same team, and you know, I end up playing as all those characters. So it's an interesting approach, and I'm really glad that Ubisoft has kind of taken this approach for Watch Dogs Legion, because one, obviously it's very ambitious, and two, it seems like, for me at least, in my opinion, that it's coming across very well, and it's been executed very well. So hats off to you guys over at Ubisoft. Other than that, though, I'm going to keep on playing some Watch Dogs Legion. So if you guys have any questions, comments, or feedback, feel free to write in to brosandconsoles@gmail.com. Obviously, I will try and get some more game time in for that, along with just kind of other games that are coming out. As we know, we are T-minus 2 days from the release of the PS5. I will have to see when the PS5 actually does arrive at the door, because as it gets closer, I'm getting scared that we're going to kind of have to wait, and maybe the package doesn't get shipped on time, maybe it doesn't arrive on time, or it doesn't arrive at all that day kind of thing. We'll have to kind of play it by ear and see what happens. But yeah, hopefully everything works out fine, and then if it looks like the PS5 does come in that day and I'm able to get a little bit of game time in with it, then hopefully the episode will be a kind of a regular time. It may end up being similar to this episode, where it comes out kind of in the later evening, but we'll kind of see as that goes. If you do want updates on that, I will try to keep people updated on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @IndieRonan. And yeah, if you guys want to watch some Watch Dogs Legion gameplay, I've got that up on youtube.com/KANAE17. You can also just search Indie Ronin on YouTube. Make sure you put a space in there, just because that is the way I have my name on that. And yeah, other than that, I look forward to podcasting for you guys some more. I look forward to playing more Watch Dogs Legion, and hopefully some PS5 games pretty soon. I've got the pathless all set up for that as well when it comes in. And or when the PS5 comes in, I should say, as well as Demon's Souls and Spider-Man Miles Morales. So there's going to be a lot of crazy things going on. I look forward to kind of giving reports on those games as I start to really dive into them. And thank you guys all for listening. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy, and I will talk to you guys in a couple days. Until then, peace out.